Welcome to the Refuge House Church podcast, where we bring you faith-based inspiration and guidance every week. In today's episode, join Pastor Roland as he shares insights from God's Word. So sit back, relax, and get ready to dive deeper into the Word with us.
And always from the side of God to me and you is abundance, it's best. God does not limit his outflow on you. What is restricting and measuring and making it small, what we receive, it's how we respond to training. When you come for training, you come equipped. You come with your notes. You come with your biro. You come ready to learn. Many of us come to church with a traditional mindset, maybe because of some of the orthodox background you came. Church is just to go and show up and register present on Sunday. God, I'm here, at least, when they are marking register in heaven. I don't know where we got that kind of funny idea from. They will mark me, at least I showed up in church. So you come with no expectation, no right orientation. You show up in church and you go, and that's the end. What did you learn? Nothing. And when destiny comes for you to play, you can't sense destiny, you can't engage destiny, you can't manifest because you don't have training. So when you come prepared. Your mind must be fixed. You come prepare your mind ready. That's why I advised you earlier on. When you wake up in the morning, particularly on Sunday, every day actually, pray in tongues to get your mind fixed up. Because you don't know what you're going to deal with that day. A man, somebody shared a testimony with me years ago. He was an employer of labor. So that morning he prayed in the spirit, was to interview some people. He prayed a lot in the spirit, prayed in tongue, just got his spirit fired up. So the people were coming. There was one particular fellow that you could consider the man for the job. He had all the skill, the experience, everything. But as he was looking at him, the spirit of God opened his eyes. And the head of the person opened and he saw a demon. So if you want to, listen, your academic qualification is not enough to reign as a king. Are you hearing me? Because there are some things academics can't see. There are some things education cannot know. Education cannot identify demons. If he wasn't led by the spirit, he would have just employed a devil that will ruin him. It's only a matter of time. Part of your training is to help your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, so you can be led by the Spirit as you should. So tell your neighbor, say, welcome for training. I'm going to be reminding you from time to time. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that one of the ministry gifts is to equip the saint. To equip means to be trained. When you come with that mentality, I'm being trained to reign as a king in life. I'm being trained to function as a priest in life. The quality of my kingship and my priesthood will be a function of the quality of the training I have received. It will help me minister to God more effectively. It may help me reign more effectively. Christians are behaving like servants today, walking on the street. Why servants are riding on horses? Because they are not properly being trained. So pay attention to the word. We've entered a series that is intended to put to rest every struggle. I've told you, struggle is a curse. Don't ever use the word hustle. It's a curse that was introduced after the fall. And God is very particular about his word. There's nowhere in the scripture that the Bible talks about struggle. There's stumbling. Stumbling is when you trip as you try to make progress. That's to stumble. And the Bible talks about stumbling. We can stumble because we're learning and we're growing. And as we're learning and growing, we'll make mistakes. But the moment we make the mistake, the essence of the mistake is not to stay in the mistake. The essence of the mistake is to learn so we don't repeat it. And in process of learning, you will stumble. But the stumbling is to stumble forward, progress. But to hustle is demonic. It's been whipped into the normal language and it's almost looked at as normal. No. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are labored and are heavy burdened. People who are labored and are heavy burdened are people that are struggling. He said, I will give you rest. What is rest? A life free from struggle. And struggle doesn't mean you don't work hard. I told you that the reason God made us to work is so we can demonstrate or express dominion. Working hard is a culture that it came from God. But we can work without stress. What is wearing us out is the element of struggling. And struggling is an unbelief that has been sold in the minds of men, thinking that with your power alone, you can make it happen for yourself. It's a deception. The Bible said it's not by might, it's not by power. It is struggle that makes us think that because we have connection, because we work in a very good company, because we know people in office, then we can make it. No. Those are just channels. A man who struggles doesn't see God as his source. But a man who enters rest sees God as his only source. And every other person like a channel. And we said, if we're going to enter the rest of his grace, which are prophetic emphasis for 2024, the first thing is to program our heart right. And we do that by what? Meditation. You must spend time meditating on the word, exposing your heart, your mind to the word. Running the word of God in your thoughts. Because hear me, brothers and sisters, without meditation, you will not take responsibility for how you think. There are a lot of thoughts every day that are generated from people, generated from your situation, generated from your circumstances that are seeking to influence the way you think. Because whatever determines how you think will run your life. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So meditation, according to Joshua 1:8, is to help us program our hearts, our mind, to line up with the way what God has said and how God thinks. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it when? Day and night. Day and night. Day. It's a regular daily thing, day and night. So you may observe to do all that is written therein. He said, then you will make your way prosperous and you will have what? Good success. Has God given us good success? Yes, he has. But whose responsibility it is to walk in success is not God, it's you. God will not force you to walk in success. Just like if I give you food, I can't force you to eat the food. You have to take the food and do what? Eat it for yourself. All I do, what God did is provide it. But if we're not going to use it, then it's of no advantage to us. The second one we talked about, if we're going to enter rest, which we're dealing on, is the labor of what? Of rest. And we said the labor of rest is faith. We were saved by faith to live by faith. And if you've been coming, we said faith is believing with the heart what you have known in the finished work of Christ. That's where faith begins from. Faith is activated by knowledge. You cannot believe what you don't know. Say that with me. Say, I cannot believe what I don't know. I didn't hear everybody. So if you have no knowledge of God, if your knowledge of the word of God is kindergarten, your faith will be what? Kindergarten. Faith comes by what? Hearing and what? Hearing by the word of God. I've taught you that. Go through your note. And on Wednesday, we began to look at, now we know what faith is and how faith comes. Then on Wednesday, we began to look at how to engage faith. Understanding and engaging the language of faith. On Wednesday, one of the things I said was that faith is a language. Say that with me. Say, faith is a language. The message is on the screen. Get it. I mean, it's on a podcast. Our podcast is very easy. You don't have to download it. There's a link on our Facebook. You click it. It will open the podcast. Well, some platforms. It will play it for you. Or you can stream the Facebook or play it and listen or download it. If you are serious about reigning as a king in life, you will not play with your training in the word. But if you don't have time to go to the word, listen to the word, get the message that has been taught, you're simply saying, I am not interested in reigning as a king in life. That's what you're doing. And it's on you, not on anybody. My job is to teach and feed you. All right. So we said faith is a lifestyle of believing and speaking God's word. Faith is what? A lifestyle of believing and speaking God's word. Is that not true? All right. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll just make some highlight and I'll continue. Verse 13, 2 Corinthians 4:13. The Bible says, we having the same spirit of faith. And I use the word spirit means three things. On Wednesday I said spirit is a personality. Is that not so? Spirit is also a mental disposition, and spirit also means influence. And when we use the word personality, the Bible says God is a spirit. Say with me, say God is a spirit. Everybody look at me, look at me, look at me. Say God is a spirit. Get up from your seat. Go to some of you already sleeping this morning. The Lord help you. Go to like two or three people. Tell them, God is a spirit. Tell the person, wake up. Tell the person, wake up. Hallelujah. Amen. How can you be sleeping in the morning? That cannot be God. Amen. Did you not sleep in the night? Eh? How can you be nodding on a Sunday morning? When it's Sunday, you know, Saturday night to Sunday, go to bed early. That's what I do. So you can wake up early and be smart. You can't be coming to church, your message is going on, you're nodding your head. All right. I said faith means three things. Faith is a personality. Faith is a mental disposition. What do I mean by mental? A way of thinking. Remember? A way of thinking. God said about Caleb and Joshua, they have another spirit. What spirit? Mental disposition. The way they think was based on what God said, not what they saw. The other 10, their mental disposition was based on what they saw. But 2, their mental disposition was based on what they believe, what God said. And we said faith is also an influence. So if we put the spirit word, we can use one word to describe the spirit, personality, mental disposition, and influence. We can call it a tribe. A tribe is made up of a set of people with a particular way of thinking and with a particular influence in their life. And the Bible says when we are born again, we've been born from a tribe that possesses faith. God, our Father, is the source of faith. And when we got born again, He gave us faith in our heart. Tell your neighbor, say, I have faith. Say, the faith is located in me. I hope you know faith is not in your brain. Are you hearing me? Faith is not a mental thing. It can influence your mentality, but faith is not in your head. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart is your spirit. And lean not unto your own analysis, imagination, and reasoning. In all your ways, acknowledge. The word acknowledge actually means believe. In all your ways, believe Him. And what will He do? He will direct your path. So faith, say with me, say faith is in my human spirit. Say it louder. Say that. Say faith is in my human spirit. So for faith to be effective, it has to be drawn from your spirit so it can influence your mind and your action. And the only thing that can draw faith from your spirit is God's word. That's what the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing, and what? Hearing by the word. If you are going to believe God in an area, you have to keep hearing and hearing and hearing God's word. Otherwise, you will not believe. Faith doesn't come once because you heard once. If it was, the Bible would have said faith comes by having heard. You have to keep hearing. There are certain messages you have to play and play and play and play until faith in that area is drawn from your heart. Otherwise, you will not believe God there. If you are still doubting, that means faith has not been called. It has not risen. Am I making any sense? All right. Say with me. Say, God is good. Say that, everybody. So we said, we have the same spirit of faith, or the same tribe, the same attitude, the same personality, and the same effect of faith. And how does that spirit of faith work? According as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. We believe and we speak. So faith is believing with your spirit and speaking with your mouth. So faith is a language. And you need to know when you are speaking faith. Because some of us don't know. Am I making any sense? Faith is what? A language. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to verse 3. Hallelujah. The Bible says, I want you to pay particular attention. I'm going to take each of the verses to explain the language of faith and how we engage that. Please, pay attention, because this is very important to your walk with God. Many Christians don't even know the difference between being in faith and being in assumption. Are we there? Can we read it together? I want to go verse 1, everybody. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made. Some of you are not reading. Verse 3, everybody. Through faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now go back to verse 1. Let's begin with verse 1. I'd like us to read verse 1 together. Everybody. Verse 1. One to go. Now is... Very good, very good. Read it one more time. Now. Now, let's break this verse down. Let's take the first three words. Everybody say, now faith is. Say that.
Now faith is.
Notice the emphasis of the word is. Now faith is. Or we can say faith is now. Same thing. That word is shows the tense of faith. Say with me, say, faith has a tense. And the tense of faith is present tense. Faith is not a was. Faith is not will be. Faith is an is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Faith is not a was. Faith is not will be. Faith is what? An is. Why? Because faith is present tense. And why is it present tense? It's present tense because faith acknowledges what God has said and done. Do you understand that? What does faith do? It acknowledges by its proclamation what God has said and what God has done. So when you say, God will help me, you are not speaking faith. In fact, God will help me is not faith. Have you heard people say, don't worry, God will help you. God will help you. It's not faith. That statement will not commit God to you. Because the question I want to ask you, when do you need the help? Answer me now. When do you need, I only heard one person said, when do you need help? So why will you say God will help me? When do you want the help? Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 5 and 6. Quickly. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. If we're in church, Wednesday, I already taught this extensively. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. Are we there? I'd like you to read it because I want you to learn it. Can we read verse 5 together, everybody? What does it say? And... Yeah. What has God said? Hold on, hold on. For God to tell you, I will not leave you, not forsake you, simply means he has done everything there is to be done to make sure he never leaves you. It's already done. I hope you know God declares the end from the beginning. So that means everything you need for God not to leave you nor abandon you has already been done. And he has not said in his word, I will never. And if God speaks, his word is law. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Go to the next verse. Why did he say that? So that in faith, we can appropriate what he just said. Read it. So that, everybody read it out. So we may boldly say, the Lord will help us. Eh? So we may boldly say, my help is coming. One day my miracle will arrive. It will arrive, bro. Somebody's on the bed saying, don't worry. I'm believing my God. My God will heal me. You may die there. The Lord is. Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That everything you need has been provided. Otherwise, why will you believe him? If when you are believing him, that's when he's not thinking of what to do, then he's not God. Because that's the way some of us think. Because of the way we deal with people, maybe you go and ask somebody for help. You say, don't worry, let me see what I will do. And you transfer the same expectation and mentality to God. Many of you think that the moment you are praying, that's when God is thinking of what to do. He already knows what he will do. He wants you to be confident in his ability to be God in your life. He says, the Lord is my helper. Then the tense of the word will means anything man will bring, I will not fear. But there's one, I don't know what man will bring. Oh, that's why I use the word will not fear. I don't know what will come up. I don't know whether the economy will change. I don't know whether the condition will get tough. I don't know whatever challenges will lie before me. But one thing I am very certain, I'm not going to be bothered about what people will do or what will not do, what will happen or what will not happen. One thing I am certain and I am possibly sure about is that the Lord is my helper. So when you look at your account and the money is not looking nice, or the account is not looking nice, you declare, the Lord is my helper. Can I advise you? Some of you need to deal with some unbelief in your mind. Many of you don't want to speak faith because you don't want people to think you have money, or you don't want people to beg you money. You need to deal with that lie. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If somebody comes to ask you if you have to give, if you have spare to give, give them. And be a good giver. If you don't have spare to give, say, presently, I can't do anything. All right? And you let the person know. It's not an offense. But to begin to lie and to put yourself in a perpetual raggedy, beggarly, there's a word I want to use, unfortunate, hopeless, you know, victim, thank you. You know, you position yourself as a victim. See everything that happened now. As if the currency devaluation is starting from your house. That everything bad in this world is beginning from your house. Say, see now. We not note it out. You know what you're doing? You are endorsing unbelief. And you will, listen, you're not going to walk in the help of God thinking like that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because that's why one reason many believers do not manifest prosperity. They play the victim card. They always think unfortunate. They always put themselves in a disadvantaged position. Sometimes they do that because they want people to pity them. I don't need pity from man. I've got a helper who is committed to me 24/7. So even if one channel doesn't supply, somebody else will supply. Because when your eyes is on the source, channels will never stop opening up. That's the problem with us. We've zeroed our mind on people. So when there is a need in our life, we'll just be letting them know. We'll not tell them that, we'll just be letting them know. The mind beyond letting them know is because you want them to do something. If you don't deal with that, you're going to put yourself in bondage. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing me? I'm not saying you cannot ask someone for help. But when you do that, don't do it with the mindset that the person is your source. If the person says no, you say, thank you, no problem. No offense, no bad belly. Are you hearing me? Because sometimes when somebody will not tell you no, then the next day the person bought a car, then you now say, you go buy a car. And yesterday I come meet you, you say you don't get anything. Wait, is that your life? So the money planned for the car that is to buy, I should give it to you, Abby. Because it doesn't have anything to do with his life. It's only your own. That's an evil mentality. Look at the person. Say, that's evil. Evil eye. Look at the person. Say, that's evil eye. Say, don't have evil eye. Bible says, rejoice with them that what? Rejoice. Say, the Lord is my helper. And that's what faith does. Faith speaks the ease of God, not the world. Let me show you one more scripture, two more scripture I give them. To be in faith is to say the Lord is my helper, otherwise you are in hope. Hope is uncertain because it has no specification, no time series, no assured commitment. Go to Joel 3 verse 10, quickly. Joel 3 10, quickly, quickly, quickly. I want to go somewhere else this morning. Joel 3 10. The Bible says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am weak. What did he say? Are you paying attention?
Yes,
many of us need to repent from bad words. Because Jesus said, by your words you are justified. By your words you are condemned. You are being limited by what you say. If you speak faith, you will be lifted. If you speak unbelief, you will stay where you are. Let the weak say, I am weak. You think God was not aware of how you were feeling when he said this? Huh? You think God is not aware that maybe you were tired? And you felt weak? No. He's not telling you to affirm what you feel. He's telling you to affirm what he has said. The word of a living God says, let the weak say, I am strong. Nothing on earth should make you say you are weak. You may feel weak. If you go to the doctor and he asks you, say, are you weak? Say, no, I'm not weak. I feel weak. Because when I say I feel weak, that's what my body feels. That's not who I am. Do you understand that? Because faith does not ignore the problem. It doesn't speak from it. I will not say I am sick. My body feels sick, but I am not sick. I am sick simply means I have admitted that sickness is Lord over me. No, it's not. Our body feels pain. Our body feels weakness. But I'm not going to speak from the report of my body. My body's feeling is an opinion, but I've got a more sure opinion, God's word. Faith doesn't ignore that there are no challenges, but faith speaks from what God has said. I am strong. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I am strong. I am strong. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Are you understanding what I'm saying? 1 Peter 2:24. Go there quickly. 1 Peter 2:24. He says, 1 Peter 2:24. Can we read it together? What does it say? He says, who his own self bear our sins, that's Jesus, on the tree or on the cross, that we, being dead, say with me, say, I'm dead to sin. That's why Satan has no claim over you. All your sins, past, present, and future, has been forgiven in Christ. Say amen.
Amen.
That's what the Bible means by remission of sin. Satan cannot make a case against you based on sin anymore because Jesus paid the price for it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Watch this. He said, should live unto righteousness, because him who knew no sin was made sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ, by whose stripes ye were healed. The tense were is past. It means the action has already been done. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus hung on the cross, he took your sin and my sin. He took your sickness and my sickness. He took our diseases. He took all our infirmity. He was punished in our place. And when he died, everything that was fighting you died with him. When he rose, they didn't rise. Only him rose. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He rose. And Bible said, because of that, heaven has declared you are healed. You're not hearing what I'm saying. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Say, you are healed. You are healed. Say, you are healed because Jesus has already healed you. He says you were healed. If you were healed, means you are healed. Is that not so? If you were healed, it means you are healed. Now, you need to begin to train your mind and your mouth to think and say so. Are you hearing me? So that when sickness attacks your body, you don't change your language. You keep declaring what God says. I were healed and I am healed. I am the healed and healthy in Christ. Romans 8:11 says, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, and the same spirit quickens my body, my mortal body. The Holy Ghost that dwells in me quickens or gives life to my physical body, and the life of God drives away every attack of sickness. So when you keep declaring, I am healed, what you're doing is acknowledging what you carry in your spirit, and what you carry in your spirit, which is the life of God, will pursue that sickness away from your body. You can take medicine, it doesn't stop the process. Medicine is not your healer. Your healer is Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes,
the putting your faith on medicine is stupid. Medicine is a complement, just like vitamin. It's a complement to faith, but it's not a replacement for faith. It will be dangerous for you to put your trust in medicine. Medicine is only assisting until you become rooted to a point you walk in health, you will not need it again. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes,
are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes,
uh-huh. You were healed, so I am healed. So your mental, that's what the Bible said in Isaiah. They that dwell in Zion shall not say, I am sick. You can't be sick. You are not sick. Why? You were healed. So is the devil trying to change the narrative by attacking your body with sickness, convincing you that you are a sick man? You are not a sick man. You are healed. Say with me, say, I am healed.
I am healed.
Say it boldly. Say, I am healed.
I am healed.
You keep proclaiming it, irrespective of how you feel or how you think. Am I making any sense? We are healed. We are healed. We're not trying to get healed. In Christ, the believer is healed through the redemption. So I must now begin to see and say, I am healed, because it's already been done. When our bodies are attacked by infirmity, we do not stop becoming healed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It doesn't change who we are. It doesn't even change what Jesus has done. It's an attack. We are still the healed that the enemy is trying to make sick. We are to resist him steadfast in the faith by speaking what he has said about us and what he has done. We don't have to feel like it. Faith has nothing to do with feeling. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Say with me, say, faith has nothing to do with feeling. Say it three times. One more time. Are you paying attention? Faith is based entirely on what God has said and done. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Faith is what? Based entirely on what God has said and done. Faith is based entirely on what God has said and done. Now, go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I told you I picked up that first three statements. Let's look at the other part of verse 1. We said, now faith is that not so? Now faith is, or faith is now, which means faith is a present tense. When you speak faith, you are acknowledging what God has said and what God has done. When you speak faith, you are acknowledging what God has said and what God has done. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing me? Yeah. Don't let situation rearrange your mouth and your head. I don't die. No, you are not dead. God didn't say that. Even if people leave you, why should you behave hopeless? God has not left. Is that not what is more important? The Lord is my helper. I don't fear what men can do unto me. Hallelujah. Okay, Hebrew 11. Can we read it together? Want to go. Now, everybody want to go. Now, everyone look at that verse. We have looked at the first three words. The next statement about faith, two things the Bible says about faith. Amen? Rise up on your feet, everybody. Some people are now nodding their head. Get up. Go to two people. Say, pay attention. Get up. Go, leave your seat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Those of you that are sleeping, you know yourself. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, don't miss what I'm about to teach. I don't think I sound too boring that my message will be like William. Alright, Hebrew. He says, watch this. The first three statement words we looked at now, faith is. The other statement about faith is very important. Please listen. It's important because it will help you understand the language of faith. Please listen. He says there are two things faith is. Is that not so? Huh? There are two things faith is. What is the first thing faith is? Is the substance of things hoped for. Is that clear? What is the second thing faith is? The evidence of things not seen. Alright, let's look at that. There are two things the Bible says faith is. Number one, faith is the... Is there now? I'll say it now. Faith is what? Faith is what? The evidence of things not seen. What are the two things faith is? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Say it one more time. Say it now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, notice the statement. I want to bring your attention to something. You will notice the emphasis of faith on things. Is that also? Yeah. The spotlight. Are you paying attention? Some of you are chatting. The emphasis of faith is on what? On what? Look at this. Look at this scripture. Can you see that? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you see things on both statements. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The things you hope for, do you see it with your eyes? No. If you hope to get something, it means it is not seen with the physical eyes. Is that not true? Come on. Is that not true? Evidence of things not seen. Things that are not seen are things that are not visible. Is that not true? And yet the Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, listen to this. Listen to this. Are you ready for this?
Yes, sir.
The term, let's pick the first statement. Faith, please pay attention. Because this is where many of us lose it. Let's pick the first statement. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Are you ready for that? Let's look at that. Let's pick the first statement. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And look at the second statement. The evidence of things not seen. You will notice in those two statements, the emphasis is on things. 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 Now, hear this. You will notice from the two statements that the things that faith deals with are things that are not seen. Hello? Is that not true? Things hoped for are things that are not visible yet. You can hope for a car. The car exists in your hope. Hope is something that is not manifested yet. Is that not so? Substance, evidence of things not seen means the things you do not see does not yet exist in the physical. Is that not so? So which means faith deals with things that are not seen. Is that clear? Is that clear? Now, watch this. Watch this. When we use the word things that are not seen, what do we mean? We simply mean things that are not visible to our five senses. Can you see me? What is the color of the dress or shirt I'm wearing? Can everybody agree it's blue? Who told you it's blue? You can see it. Yeah. You were trained, your senses were trained that when you see colors like this, it is called blue. So to you and to me, this shirt I'm wearing exists because you can see it. What's the color of the trousers I'm wearing? Because everybody can see. And I'm sure you can see me. If I come and shake you, you will feel my hand. Is that not so? Because you can touch me. Is that not so? So anything that is seen in this natural realm must be things that are we can identify with our five senses. We can see it. Is that not so? We can feel it. We can smell it. We can touch it. Is that not so? That means it is seen. But yet the Bible says faith does not deal with things that are seen. Are you still with me? Follow me. Follow me. Are you still there? Unseen means things that are not visible to our five senses. For things to be considered as seen, it must be recognizable to the five senses. Faith does not deny the things that are seen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Faith doesn't deny the things that are seen. It just does not base its reference from an operation on them. Keep your eyes on me so you can be learning. Did you hear what I just said? Faith does not deny the things that are seen. But it does not base its reference from them and its operation by them. Because faith deals with things that are not seen. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me explain something from that scripture to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 17. So you can appreciate, understand the language of faith, and you'll be more bold to speak the word of God. Say amen. We've discovered that faith deals with things that are not seen. Things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. It doesn't mean the things faith deals with do not exist. So they exist, but they just don't exist in the natural realm. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying? You have to pay attention to make sure you get it. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. I'm going to read it once, then I'll explain it. 4, 17 and verse 18. Are we ready? Can we read it together? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Go to verse 18. Why? Notice after weight of glory, there's a semicolon. Why we look not at the things which are seen. Pay attention. But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Go back to verse 17 again. We're talking about understanding the language of faith. Now, this is Apostle Paul writing an anointed epistle to the Corinthian church. Please pay attention. He begins a very interesting, but first of all, let me explain some words there. The word light there, light affliction. The word light there means easy. Everybody say easy. Say it now. Say it again. When something is easy, it means it's devoid of stress. Is that not so? Come on, talk to me now. When you say easy, that means no stress. It doesn't mean no activity, but activity without stress. Do you understand that? All right. Now, the word affliction there, are you ready for this? Let me tell you what it means. It means pressure. It means persecution. It means trouble. Are you hearing me? It means to be burdened. It means to be stressed. But interestingly, see, Paul calls his stress or his pressure, his trouble, his burden easy. Hello? He's looking at trouble. Who calls trouble easy? I'm saying rhetorical. Who looks at what is putting pressure on you and calls it easy? In case you don't know what I mean, Paul is using the language of faith to address what they were going through. If you want to know what Paul was going through, go from verse 7 to verse 9, everybody. Let us see what Paul is calling light or easy. And I'm sure some of you will be like, say, Paul, no, no, what you trouble me. Blessed Paul, I cannot pay my rent. And he says, it is easy. Everything is against me. I'm jobless. I don't have a job. Everything is dry. And Paul says, it's easy. How can Paul be talking like that? Let's look at what Paul is calling easy. Are you ready for this? He says, but we have this treasure. What is the treasure? Tell your neighbor, say the word of God.
The word of God.
I didn't hear everybody.
The word of God.
What is the treasure? You will find that in verse 2. He said, we no longer handle the word of God deceitfully. So the treasure is talking about is the word of God. Now, let's read it. Everybody want to go? Some of you are not reading. Everybody read it. Now, go to the next verse, everybody. Everybody, what did he say next? Pay attention on the screen. Read it. Want to go? Hold on. We are troubled on every side, and yet, you know what it means to be troubled? It means to be pressed on every side. Something is squeezing you, trying to sniff out the life on you. He said, but yet, not distress. The word distress means I'm not stressed. I'm not hopeless. We are perplexed. The word perplexed, listen to this. He said perplexed, but not in despair. The word perplexed, are you ready for this? It means to be without resources, to be left wanting, to be embarrassed, and to be in doubt. They were drained, they had nothing. He said, we were perplexed, but we were not despaired. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at the next statement. He says, we are what? Persecuted, verse 9, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not. Let me tell you, the word persecuted means to make to run. Do you know how many times Paul ran away from death? On one occasion, they wanted to kill him. They had to put him in a basket, lower him on the wall, and put him there so he can run. Do you know how many times Paul ran for his life? There was one time they stoned him to death. And the disciple came and prayed, and he came back. He said, we were persecuted, said, but not forsaken. And hear this. This is very powerful. Then the word persecuted also means to be harassed or molested. The last one is the word cast down. The word cast down means to throw to the ground. To throw to the ground. And he says, but not destroy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Notice that for each affliction Paul mentioned, he spoke with a different encouraging and uplifting language. Cast down, but not destroyed. Persecuted, but not perplexed. Hi, why will he talk like that? There are some of you, only the thing you are going through will become the only language in your mouth. How are you, my brother? Pastor, if you know what they show me now, if you know what they see, I see pepe. In fact, the pepe is so skirt and blouse. You will open your mouth and describe all shades of bad, evil. Pastor, we deal. Then you now corruptly say, we thank God. You don't thank God. You're not thanking God when you talk like that. Paul spoke with an encouraging and uplifting perspective to what he faced. Listen, hear this. He didn't speak from a depressed, hopeless, and a frustrated tone. Why will Paul talk like this? The reason Paul spoke differently about what they were going through was because he was looking and speaking about the affliction with the eyes of faith. Ask your neighbor, how are you looking at your affliction? If you look at your affliction from the affliction, which are the things that are seen? If you look at your affliction from your affliction, and you will speak from your affliction. Paul showed us why he spoke the way he spoke. Put it verse 18, everybody. Go to verse 18. Why did Paul speak the way he did in verse 17? It was because of verse 18. Go to verse 18. Are you still with me? Are you learning this? Want to go? Why we look not at the things which are seen? Hold on. What are the things that are seen? The affliction. The persecution. They've been cast down, been destroyed. Everything he went through, those were the things. Because these were done to him by people, by situation, by circumstance. But Paul did not call the affliction light or easy because he was looking at the affliction that are seen. No, he said, why we look not at the things which are seen, but what? At the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, this affliction you are seeing, they will pass. Tell your neighbor, say, whatever you are going through will pass. It's only temporary. No matter, as the devil ever attack you and wants you to feel that this thing you are going through will be with you for the rest of your life, is a lie. Everything that has seen are temporary. Anything that has a beginning must have an end. That's what the Bible says. So that affliction you are going through, that challenge that is facing you there, it's only temporary. But if you base your confession on what is temporary, that means you too will pass. It says, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Which means Paul was looking at a different template. He wasn't looking at the template of the natural. Whenever you sound frustrated, whenever you sound depressed, whenever you sound worried, whenever you sound troubled, whenever you sound persecuted, whenever you sound distressed, whenever you sound, you know, forsaken and abandoned, it's because your template is the things that are seen. You are looking at the news, what you are hearing. You go to the market, they tell you prices of everything has gone up. Those are the things you are looking at. And there is no way you will look at those things, you will not feel cast down. There's no way you will look at those things, you will not feel depressed. There's no way you look at those things, you will not feel worried. There's no way you look at those things, you will not feel troubled. But we are a people of faith. We look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. That's why the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What are those things that faith looks at? That faith takes its reference and oppression from. We'll look at it in the second service. Hallelujah. You're blessed. Amen. Rise up on your feet. Come on. Lift up your hands and begin to give God praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Precious Heavenly Father, we pray that your word would take root in the hearts of your people, would dwell richly in them, renewing their minds in the name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Father. I believe your word will not return void. It will accomplish the purpose for which it has been sent, and it will prosper in the things you desire, in Jesus' name. Also, we thank you for another opportunity to honor you with our offerings. We give, acknowledging you as our source and supplier, our financial helper. We worship you with our offerings and our tithe, and we thank you that you are granting us grace to abound unto every good works. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, why do you take the offering? Can have.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform and follow us on Facebook at The Refuge House Church, a.k.a. The Conquerors Assembly, for more information about our church and upcoming events. God bless you.